Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world to come join us, come and learn with us. And today I'm just so very grateful for this very special man of God who has taken time out of his very busy schedule to teach us. And I'm talking about Dr. Daniel Shaeste. Hi, Dr. Shaeste.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing so good. Thank you so much. And you just made my day. Made my week. And Ms. Barbara cannot be on with us. We have started doing our shows at night. And when I told her about it, I was thinking it was going to be at night. And then I looked and I said, oh, no. We had scheduled it for 1:30. So she's not going to be able to come on, but she just loves you and just wants you to know that. But she's listening in. She's listening in. So if you don't mind, I'm going to start the show because I know you've got so much to teach us. And these are perilous times, but that's when the light shines the brightest. So I want to just ask God to be over our conversation, that it may impart such Amen. Needed wisdom for the listener. So we'll go ahead and get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. We thank you that, Lord, nothing is hard for you. We thank you that you're just such a God that is full of love. That, Lord, you sent us this man, Lord, Dr. Shaeste, Lord, that came from the other side of the world to, Lord, be a missionary for us all. Lord, he has lived through darkness. And because of your amazing love, he was able to escape it. And that is a gift from you, Lord. It is a gift for every one of us if we just would put our faith and trust in you, the awesome Lord of the universe that gave his son to die for our sins, Lord. So, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. Please direct our steps, our thoughts, and our actions. And we pray that especially for the listeners, especially to those that, Lord, maybe this is their first time hearing Dr. Shaeste and have not been as close as they need to be. I pray it draws them closer to you, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Dr. Shiesta, you've been busy traveling and just trying to wake people up. So I just want to ask you, if you don't mind, just share a little bit about yourself for those that are new, and then tell us what it is that the Lord is telling you to share.
Yes. Well, for those who haven't heard me so far, I'm coming from a very dark background. Was born in a Muslim family and grew as the most religious boy in the family among the 12 children of the household. My father had two wives and 12 children. They were all living together. So from childhood, since I was very much involved with religion, I learned that Christians and Jews are unclean people. They are polluting the world spiritually, and Islam is the only solution. And Muslims need to invest in any possible way to make them Muslim, and if they reject, they need to be killed. And so I learned this from childhood, and I didn't know anything about the gospel, about the words of Christ, and we were forbidden to read the gospel, and we were taught that gospel and Bible were corrupted because the name of Muhammad was not mentioned in that, so many things. So with that mindset, I entered the university. In the university, I became a radical Muslim, followed Ayatollah Khomeini. Ayatollah Khomeini hated the Shah of Iran, the king of Iran, because the king accepted Israel as a friend country, and this is an apostasy in Islam. Nobody should accept Israel as a friend, and if you do, you have to be killed. And possibly you remember that years ago, another leader accepted Israel as a friend. That was the president of Egypt, and he was assassinated by Muslim Brotherhood too. So under his leadership, we, created riots and a whole lot of other chaotic thing inside the country. And the king of Iran escaped, and we started to rule the country by Islamic law. I was one of the those boys initially invited to start the Revolutionary Army in Iran. That Revolutionary Army's nickname was Hezbollah, and that Hezbollah in Iran started Hezbollah in Lebanon. The goal was to prepare young boys and girls with fighting techniques, suicide bombing and terrorism, and to send them to fight side by side by Palestinians, Hezbollah, and establish themselves in Syria in order to back those two armies. And also send them to Western countries to undermine the freedom and democracy in Western countries and pave the ground for Islamic rule and, the establishment of Islam. But later on, I became a famous man in my hometown, announced my candidacy for Islamic Parliament, and I became an opposition to the Ayatollah because he lied to Iranian people. He had already promised Iranian that he would spend a lot of money of oil for people's well-being, and also people would have many chances, and they would have freedom also, use their capacity. But after taking over, he sent all money to Syria and to other terrorist groups, and the country was forgotten, and nobody was able even to criticize him in a friendly way. And the critics were taken and tortured, in prison and were slaughtered. So that really worried all of us, even though we were radical Muslims, but we needed a little bit freedom to run the country, being politicians. So that opposition became very, very bitter later, and since he was the chief commander of the Revolutionary Army, and he used the Revolutionary Army to terrorize all oppositions. And one of our colleagues was the president of the country, and he was also an opposition to him. So he terrorized the government, so the president escaped from the country, and some were killed, some were able to escape. I was one of them, caught him, put in a death cell with four others waiting in the death row. Four were killed. I was able to escape by the help of some friends who were in high position. So I escaped to Turkey. Turkey also was not easy for me living there because many Iranian terrorists, always they are present in Turkey, especially in our time, and they killed some Iranian oppositions, fugitive politicians there. And so that, you know, just that destroyed every safety for us there. And I was trying really to save my life, kept quiet, didn't want to become interested in Islamic politics anymore, just trying to save my life. So I learned the language, went in a corner, quietly lived there, and entered university to do my doctorate. It was amazing that my doctor, God was just leading me in an amazing way to open my eyes. My major in doctorate was about cultures and religion. I had to read all religions and cultures and compare them and write my thesis. I was just amazed and shocked for the first time about Christianity. We were always taught that Christianity is the ugliest religion in the world, doesn't have any dignity for humanity. And it's a religion of immorality. But now I am just finding quite opposite, that Christianity is the only religion, comparing with all other religions and philosophies, that believes in human freedom and also respects individual freedom, since the relationship in the Bible is personal between an individual and God. And also God is called the Father for followers. Followers are children, so the relationship is so intimate, like the relationship of a father and children. And father always believes in the freedom of children. So that's why there is freedom in Christian countries, and especially in Western societies, and societies have boomed in every aspect, especially in economy, because people have individual to use their God-given capacity and capability, you know, to improve their capacity for, you know, production in every matter of life. So I was amazed, and also I discovered in comparison with all other religions that Islam was the worst religion, doesn't respect any freedom for people, simply because in Islam, Allah is called master and followers are called a slave. Master never believes in the freedom of a slave. Master never gives freedom, and a slave cannot approach the master freely to share their views and to express their opinions. And I was really amazed. And then after that, something, you know, personal happened to me, and I found myself in an Iranian church in Istanbul, in Sydney, the church of those Iranians who were not able to live inside the country because of Islamic law, and they escaped and they went to Turkey and started the fellowship there. So I went there to get some ideas from them concerning my business partner who took my money. He was a Muslim. He took my money and escaped to Germany. They were in relationship with him, coming to him sometimes and working with him. And so that caused me to go there, and they offered their help to me to find him in Germany. So that caused me to go to the church continually. And I heard other amazing things there about God that I never knew that. I was always interested in God's philosophy, religious philosophy, but I never knew that God in the Bible is the personal God, whereas gods in all other religions are impersonal. You cannot have personal relationship with impersonal God, but here people have personal relationship with him, and they are united with God because God is personal. He can reveal himself. He is functional, and especially his very function is to move and and unite with his creatures, with humanity. And so these men and women in the church were so, you know, happy of their unity with God, and you could read that unity from their faces and from their words. And that was amazing to me. And my conscience also woke me up that God must be personal, because if God is not personal, how can he create personal beings? Every personal being is carrying the image of another personal creator. So if we are personal, we are carrying the image of the personal God, because only personal gods can have image, can have plan. So it was amazing, honestly. It was just so yummy and delicious for me, and that philosopher, I had never heard about that. So that, and also I had a dream. Those, helped me, encouraged me to be interested in reading their book, and they gave me a New Testament, and I started to read the New Testament. New Testament just is an amazing book, really. It's an amazing philosophical book. It's amazing in every aspect. It's amazing in philosophy too, in God's philosophy. It just reveals God to you and paves the ground for you to unite with God. I read the New Testament and finished it for the first time. I lost my dependency fully on Allah, the God of Islam, and believe that he cannot exist. He's an impersonal God. He is just a God made in the image of Muhammad, the prophet of Islam. So I totally lost that God, started to read the gospel for the second time. I was just amazed by the love of Christ, that from every angle I just got closer to him. I saw it was love. Love your God with all your being. Love your neighbor. Love your spouse. Love your enemy, because love only can bring people together and create peace among them. And eventually I gave my heart to Jesus. And God did other amazing things. And after that brought my wife, and she joined me. She saw amazing changes in my life. Those changes helped her and paved the ground for her to be interested later in reading the gospel. And eventually God also changed her life in an amazing way. I don't know, that was the brief. It was a little bit longer. So that's the story of my life.
Oh, Dr. Shreyas, I thank you. I could just listen here and just really not even say a word, but I'll go ahead and just speak this, because I went to an event this past weekend where I had a chance to hear Brigitte Gabriel.
Uh-huh.
And when you mentioned Lebanon, you know, she is from Lebanon, and she talked about how when she was a little girl, you know, that really they came and, she ended up being a victim of an attack, which already, I think she said, for about 7 years, I think, from age 10 to 17, she lived in, an underground bunker, and they would have to get out and crawl to, you know, through the ditch to get water. What used to be just a little bit away from their house took them all day because, you know, you could not hold your body up. But at some point, the word had come out that their town was going to be attacked. And she said she remembered putting on her best dress because she, you know, she wanted to die, you know, in her best dress. But she did get hurt. She had to be hospitalized. And I think one of the things that she mentioned, and I thought I wrote it down, but I'll just say it from memory, is that, you know, I think she asked her parents, why is it that they hate us? You know, that she came from a Christian family.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they hate us? And to her, and of course her parents, you know, gave her what they thought was the reasoning. I tried to write down, but I'm not looking at her exact words. I won't. She said, what did we do to offend? But anyway, it's because they considered them infidels.
Yes.
And they want to kill us, as you were saying. But then she said the strangest thing happened. Here she is in the United States of America, and 9/11 happened.
Yes.
And her daughter asked us the same thing. Why yes. do they hate us? And she, you know, she could not have dreamed that she would be saying the same thing that she heard her parents tell
yes.
her. It's a
yes.
repeat. And I guess what I'm trying to get at is this is why we really have to be careful, Dr. Shayeste, because we have to be wary.
It is. I mean, that's the belief of Islam. She was fortunate that she was not abducted. Normally, in countries that where radical Muslims are strong, they abduct the girls and they just use them as their slave, you know. And she was really fortunate, her family, that they could come and escape from there. That's Islam. If you have one chance to become Muslim and to save your life, otherwise you have to be killed and slaughtered. And especially for ladies, that you're a product, and so they become your owner, and you belong to them. This is the life in the Quran, chapter 4 speaks very clearly about that. Chapter 33 speaks about that. So this is what Western people need to wake up, that Islam, compared to all other religions, has a special threat to the world community and doesn't know any peace about non-Muslims, and the only instruction is to make them Muslims, otherwise to kill, to destroy, to, you know, enslave them and take their all property for yourself. Absolutely, we need to wake up. The word peace cannot be attributed to Islam and to Quran, even though there are many Muslims in the world that they are thirsting for peace, because God has created them in His own image. They must thirst for peace. But as long as they are with Islam, that's not going to happen. And, you know, the clear example of that is the today's Islamic countries, that there is no peace in them and people do not have freedom. And people cannot express their opinions there and use their God-given freedom they have. So we have to be signaled, we have to wake up, we have to help our communities to understand Islam, and also we have to help Muslims to come out from this religion that doesn't know any freedom and doesn't have any regard, you know, to human freedom.
Well, and Dr. Shayeste, I guess this is why it's really so important to pray for them, because this is such a big spiritual battle. But at the same time, you have to do what you can on the physical level. And one of the things that Brigitte Gabriel was reminding us that, you know, here in America, we really can't take everything just at face value. So when you have these people, and she, you know, she named CARE and other groups like that, they're supposedly very, you know, acting like they're very peaceful, wanting to promote education. You've got to look at underneath. And one of the biggest concerns we have now is really the education movement. And you probably already heard what happened in the state of Texas. They did not agree to be part of this group where we have nationalized standards. You know, it's so sad, because we should be learning from our history, just, you know, with Europe and Hitler. We had a friend from Tea Party Italy last night, telling us about that really these government schools are really nothing but control. It's so that you're always having somebody saying, you know, government is good. Look what they're doing for you. You know, they're making really nothing but propaganda, indoctrination, vehicle, tools in the school system of Europe. And that's really, we're in the danger of that happening here. But Texas said no to these national standards called Common Core. But unknown to the Texas State School Board, there was an online management system, and it was called C-Scope. And then it was found out, thank God, for the parents and the teachers that were bold enough to make their stand. It was found out one of the things that they exposed was the Allah is God curriculum. It was being taught in 85% of the Texas schools. Well, they found out about it, so they've taken it out. But now there's another side. They still have to be wary because, unfortunately, a lot of these colleges are helping write standards for their state of Texas, and unfortunately, that mindset is coming through. And that's, I think, the warning that I'd like to give people is, you know, be careful of the mindset, because unfortunately, the people that wrote the Allah is God curriculum are the people like Linda Darling Hammond, friend to Bill Ayers. So when you see this, you know, when they're calling in some of the lesson plans that were shown, they were calling those that are that were on the 9/11 that caused this. They're telling the children to call them as freedom fighters. And of course, we're seeing that even in other states. I can't remember if it was Kansas. I saw where they were, you know, talking about the five pillars of Islam. And then I hate to say it, Dr. Shrestha, in our own social studies book that's coming up to be adopted in Alabama, I hate to say it, I saw it too there. You know, it's teaching about the Quran, Muhammad, jihad, and when you compare that with what they're teaching about the Christian part is nothing compared to the amount of time on the book, even just the pages that you can count on the emphasis on Islam. You know, it's like there is a difference.
It is so sad that ignorance has become dominance in America that one day was a leading power in education for the world. I mean, many people in other parts of the world desire to come to America and to be educated and to know many things. But unfortunately, education in these countries have become, involved in narrow-mindedness, and people do not know about social relationship and the social values for relationship. People really need to be educated in this country, in Western societies, and church has a great responsibility in this. You know, people like myself who have come from other countries, and they have been working day and night to wake up people. And I give you a statistic even among Iranians that this is a statistic. I'm not quite sure, the exact number. But this is what I heard a few years ago, that only in America 40,000 Iranians came to the Lord. And that they gave their hearts to the Lord. This is because of the hard work of those Iranians who saw the face of Islam in that country. And so they escaped from that country and they came to America. And they never got rest in, tried and tried and have been trying to reach out to Iranians and to wake them up and to open their eyes. This is what we need to do in this country. Churches and Christians really need to take their trust from the politicians and put in the Lord and follow the values of the Bible, the standard and principle of Bible with prayerfully. I mean, prayer is the important thing. And to start from themselves, really, to align themselves fully with the values of Christ, and to start to build this country and bring back this country to on its own foot. What we see here in this country, many politicians are just trying really to get rid of Christian values in this country, and it's us Christians, the followers of Christ, called to follow his footsteps and to care for this country and for the land we are living in, and lift the land to the presence of God. So this is the only solution. If we do not do that, if churches do not do that, it's absolutely, we are going to lose more and more week after week and month and year after year. This is the only way, Bible says, if my people humble themselves, that humility means that we need to give our rights to God and allow God to sit on the throne and to rule. And that's the time that God comes and heals America. But unfortunately, Christians are just taking it easy, and they are not doing that much. And people like us, I know that there are many Iranians who have come out from Islam, that darkness, and they are really working hard and trying to reach out to Americans and also to the, you know, to people in the world. And myself, I have got media program reaching out to Muslims and opening their eyes and leading hundreds and thousands of them to the Lord, because this is the only solution for America. Jesus is the only solution. There is no any other solution but Jesus. History has proven that all philosophies in this country are prevalent, like New Age, humanism, you know, atheism, socialism. They have all proven that. And 50 years ago, people were saying that ungodly people, that with the, you know, improvement of this technology and science, and they were going to solve all problems. But you see, not only they were not able to solve problems, but problems are adding day after day, because there is no any hope in other belief. Only Jesus is the hope for life, and that's why we need to wake up, you know, humbly, follow Him. And I'm saying this, you know, I'm a scholar, and honestly, I'm telling to you, that scholarship, that knowledge, I do not buy them for a penny, you know, in the presence of Jesus, you know, against His love and against His principles and everything that I must follow and, in order to survive and my family survive and help the societies to survive.
Well, Dr. Shayeste, I think, too, you know, we have this great legacy here in this country to stand on, you know, where people like you who had faith in God changed a nation, changed the people, and you know, been shining the light for a long time. And it's like we're reinventing the wheel, as if we can make a better society without God. And it is foolish, because we cannot. And one of the things that I think God has shown me more and more is that I understand why He wants us to love Him first. Because it's like a child that loves a parent. That parent is the best protector of that child. That loving parent would give everything for that child. And that's really what our God did. Our God gave Jesus Christ. And yes. So for Him to ask us to love Him, it's really not, you know, I think some people think it's like, oh, well, that means you're going to be the servant. You know, it's about control. It's really, I think, it's about loving you and protecting you, because then you'll be more able to listen and hear His voice, just like the sheep, right? Dr. Shayeste, the sheep that hears His voice, he will be kept safe, and that's where we're not. We are not seeing the truth, and it's not just a sense of just faith. It's really proven time and again. Our own history here in America has proven that. George Washington, when he was so close to the Lord, that was his greatest strength, and look at how it blessed us. So I'm just really excited of what that is really, what I'm seeing out of that loving God first is means to me, and really means for the rest of us.
It is absolutely right, you're right, that we have personally tasted it, and we know what it is personally, and can be witness for that. But I am telling you, logically also, Jesus is the best, is the number one, and people do not have time to think really and compare the values of Jesus with other beliefs. I know all religions and philosophies, they do not believe in freedom. You know, in beliefs like New Age and the Eastern religions, it's solely an individualistic religion, and everything is centered in an individual. and gives power to individual, and that individual says, I have everything in myself. Or philosophies like atheism, communism, or socialism, they do not believe that humanity has an autonomy. Just, you know, people like Marx and Engels, who were the fathers of, you know, establishing fathers of communism, you know, contemporary materialism, they never believed that humanity has autonomy. They just believe it's like a machine. And what I want to say here, Jesus makes sense in every aspect of life, historically, philosophically, doctrinally, and then coming to their life ethic, like politically, socially, and economically, and morally. He is the best in everything. And that really breaks my heart that people in this country do not have time to think, and they are not led in a way to stop for a few minutes and think what they have and where they are heading. And it's so heartbreaking that people do not know the values of Christ. That's why I'm saying that we have a great obligation on our shoulder to help people, to teach our younger children, to teach our younger people in the universities, in the schools, so they understand Christ clearly and they become the voice of Christ to universities. You know, imagine universities in America. I just read a few years ago an article, a few articles actually. It says 98% of university leaders and teachers are just atheists. They hate Christianity. You imagine what do they have to teach to our children? And also they are encouraging people not to think, you know, just promoting self-centeredness and individualism. Absolutely, Jesus is beautiful in every matter, spiritually, emotionally, personally, you know, but logically also he's the best. His values are the best values. Still, I see this atheist people who are leading some companies. They are socialists, but they are socialists. They are atheists, but they are following the values of Jesus and are able to make money and also to prosper, and also, you know, so their workers and their employees also can get, survive in the society. They are against Christ, but still they are using the values of Jesus Christ, and that's why we need to wake them up, really. You're acting against Christ, but you're using the values of Christ. Otherwise, their economy should be just like the economy of, communist Russia or China or North Korea, but they are using the free values of Bible and Jesus, benefiting from this country, prospering in this country, but acting against the values of this country. Absolutely, you're right. Jesus is best in everything.
Well, Dr. Shayestre, I think, you've traveled a lot throughout the world. And when you look at Europe today, and that's one of the things that we were talking about in the conversation, that, you know, all you have to do is look at Europe. And that's where we're headed, and it is time for a change. One of the things that was mentioned was the high unemployment rate of the young people. It was like 56% in Spain and higher in Greece, but then our friend was saying it's really higher than that. And on the article that I was reading, it was not including the percentage of really the young people that are in school, which are, you know, essentially, really, they're unemployed. But, so really the figures are so high. And I'm thinking to myself, when you see Europe and what's going on today, what are some of the lessons that you think we need to get?
It's the responses in the gospel. You know, the governments in European countries started to become big and to become giant, to take the power in their hands. And they forgot that they have to be the servants of people. They always thought about themselves. You know, they wanted always to put themselves in the center of everything. You know, they forgot their own nations, unfortunately, they started to love their job more than their countries. This is what we see here in America and in many countries, in European countries, and that's why they are losing that. The leadership value that Western societies from centuries ago started, and that became a mean for getting to the topest rank of economy and social relationship. That leadership value was the leadership value of Christ. It's a participative leadership. You get people's opinion, their minds, and their role in the government, and open the space for people to think widely, to use their God-given capacity, to improve their thoughts, and that they, therefore, because of that, they became creative people. They became assertive. They created many things, and the country boomed in everything. But from 2 decades ago, roughly, the government started to become bigger and bigger and more socialist. And what happened? And they wanted to take everything in their hand, and therefore, indirectly, they tried to enslave people. And so people, thought, well, if this is the case, then why shouldn't we benefit from the government money? And so government poured that money to people, and especially unemployed people. And on the other hand, government needs to provide that money from tax, and taxes went higher and higher. It is amazing that in this country, if somebody gets $50,000 or $70,000, almost half of them it's going to tax. Why? Because the government is giant. Government, has a lot of, government is costing people. As Reagan said many years ago, in this country, governments are a problem, really. And that's why they have lost the leadership value of Christ. Jesus said that greatest of you must be the servant of people. He said that in other nations, in non-Christian value nations that do not carry his value, he said that leaders become leader and they absorb their people and they oppress their people. But he was speaking to his followers, you should not be like that. The greatest of you must be servant to others. So you were speaking about Washington. He was a servant. He loved his country. He loved his nation. And he saw that was an opportunity for him. God brought him to that situation to serve his nation. But now you see here in America, people are serving government. Governments are spending millions of dollars. President Obama just wants to go for a holiday. It's costing this country millions of dollars. Whereas there are people, they do not have their daily bread, or they are struggling to have their daily bread in this country. This should happen because many politicians have stayed away from the values of Christ, and that crisis is not going to be recovered. It's going to be worse, more worse and worse, year after year.
Well, Dr. Shieste, what are you seeing happening around Israel, with those nations around Israel? What is, what are your thoughts on that? And I know we have to be ready, and Israel is a sign of the times, and it's just really looking like they're pressing inward toward Israel harder and harder. So much pressure is being put upon them.
Well, the situation in the Middle East now is becoming, unfortunately, a game between President Obama and President Putin. Unfortunately, President Putin is, supporting the Hezbollah faction of terrorism, and President Obama is standing behind Muslim Brotherhood and those who are involved with slaughtering their own peers in Syria, some of them are strangers. They have just come to the country. They are doing terrorism. And sadly, both of them are going to cast to Israel. Both of them are enemies to Israel, but unfortunately they have been getting their support from two giant countries in the world, Russia and America. And it is so sad that now, the message of America for many years was freedom and individual freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of writing. It just has given its place really to that, most powerful political power in the Middle East. And so they are our politicians are just focusing, which faction they need to support against the other one. And they are not thinking deeply that terrorism is terrorism, no matter it's Hezbollah or Muslim Brotherhood or, Osama bin Laden followers. They are terrorists, and it is against the law of this country, it is against the values of this country and Western societies to stay away from those, horrible groups who do not understand the right of people, who do not believe in the freedom of people. And they do not understand that Israel is in a difficult situation, and we need to pray for Israel and to give wisdom also to Israeli leaders. And even there are some Jews now, they are standing against Israel. Unfortunately, they have also their brain also is washed by some kind of humanism, socialism. And so the situation is becoming difficult and difficult. On the other, this is just politically, I'm speaking to you and what we see socially and politically. But on the other hand, we know that Bible has told us this should happen for God to show his power and to teach the world that it is not by people's might, but it is by the power of God and by the power of his spirit that he will protect Israel, and that people need to rely on God. We know that from the biblical perspective, and for that we are excited that we have a living God. He is in control of everything. But socially and politically saying, we have a responsibility here. We need to stand behind Israel for its right over the land that has been religiously this nation ordained for the land. Land was ordained for the nation, and also politically speaking that they have rights to rule over their land and to have a country and government.
Well, Dr. S.A., I'm looking at my Bible, and I'm looking at Haggai chapter 2, and I'm looking at verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. And on down says, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. And on down is just really a wonderful place to be in, because then it's talking about Zerubbabel. I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty, on verse 23. It's really beautiful, and I'm thinking to myself, Lord, this is just a wonderful time for this scripture, because Dr. Shreste, me and Miss Barbara, just loves to hear you. We really think that you are, getting his message to the people. And you're motivating us to rebuild. And so I just love it. I thank you for what you're doing, the encouragement, just listening to you. And I can't imagine how Ms. Barbara feels. God is, I believe, blessing us. He's sending his encouragement with our obedient steps. And I know he is, he is delighted in you. So we thank you for this time that you've shared with us. But I guess one of the things that, from having been around Brigitte Gabriel and knowing that this woman has went through a lot, I guess some of the, she's alive. She's like you. She's went through the fire. And because of that, she's forever changed. But yes. Dr. Shiesse, one of the things that really that she was talking about that we have in common now in America, and more parents are finding out, and I think, well, you know, the first relationship God formed with him was really the family. The family. And isn't it amazing that right now in America, the thing that the politicians are not getting is there is an awakening. I believe it is happening in the home. It is happening as the parents look at the child or children in the home, and they're seeing something is not quite right in that place that they used to trust called public education. They had a feeling it's been changing through the years. It, you know, it's not been the best, but I think what they're finally opening their eyes to is they're seeing evil, and it's there after the mind of the child. And I think, you know, it's the same thing that Bridget Gabriel saw, her parents saw. There is that evil, but it's after that child. And again, with the event of 9/11, Bridget Gabriel saw it again. You know, in that question of that child, it is after that child. It is after the children. And I wonder, Dr. Shiesse, you know, God knows beginning to end, we know that. But I think, you know, it's like an amazing thing to really see what is going to bring people down on their knees. I think one of the greatest things that brings us on our knees are really the children. Yeah. And I see that happening. I'm hearing from parents that are so, they're in tears, they're distraught, they don't know what to do. But then, lo and behold, Dr. Shiesse, there is the one that they have heard. There is the Christ that they have heard. And then they take the time to go and implore him, to him, for help. And I believe he is going to show himself as always. You know, just his love endures forever. And yeah. I think it's manifesting itself because more parents are getting it. They're learning. They're learning. And it is really a battle between good and evil. And I think sometimes we excuse the politicians, but I'm reminded of Pontius Pilate, Dr. Shiesse. These politicians, as much as they'd like to wash their hands off and say, I'm just doing this, because I'm forced to. Will that be enough for God?
Well, it's this political correctness, unfortunately, has become, you know, the leading power in the life of many politicians, and so many of them even see the situation, and situations are unpleasing, but. Just political correctness is just hindering them to do something. You know, morally speaking, that Western societies have been struggling between two extremes. One is the morality of God. The other one is the, you know, jungle law, you know, human law. And since evolutionary mindset says that everything is from animal, they're just trying really to turn the families to live like animals. But I have seen that some of them are also frustrated among themselves because in evolutionary values, there is no any moral standard. Everything is relative. That means that my child wants to do anything in the family, he or she is free. And my wife or my husband, you know, in the family, they are all free to do everything they like because they are the center of everything. And that some of them have really faced this chaos. How can it be? I mean, do I need to change my wife every day, my husband every day, my daughter should come with 10 boys every day, or my son with, 20 girls every day? So they are frustrated too because the you know, law of evolution something that puts pressure on them too, and that's why some of them are crying, and when they hear our messages and when they are challenged to think and to compare and to see that love in the family, a beautiful value in the family, cannot be protected by self-centeredness and selfishness, so they are waking up. I mean, the people have the witness of God in themselves. God has not left himself without any witness, and that's why we Christians need to take this as an advantage. He is in work, and therefore we need to be in work, and to help people to understand the family with the values of God is the family that can survive and can prosper and can be joyful and become a tool for the society to rejoice with good morals. And that's why I said in my talk, really, we need to rely fully on Christ rather than, you know, put our whole trust in politicians. Unfortunately, this is American culture that people trust politicians more than God, and this needs to be changed, and we need to help to change this.
Wow, thank you. Oh, what a thought for that. Dr. Shayessa, you're right. And at the same time, too, I think we do need to lift them up because we know that God is able to move that head. And so, and I've heard of a saying, Dr. Shayessa, I don't know who said it, but I've heard something to the like this: the slave to the compass is master of the sea. And I'm thinking to myself, if our compass is pointing true north, which is God, and we are slave to that compass that points true north, then we can master what comes our way. And it's kind of like Jesus, right, walking on the water. He says, you know, don't be afraid, it is I. And, you know, he who calms the waves can calm anything in your life, right? And I guess sometimes when we get all these problems, that's really the best place to be, is to look beyond, to look at the cross, to know that we have victory already. Yes, we have to live in this world, but at the same time, I guess that's also like, yes, we have to also be reminded that because we know there is something beyond this world, we really have to fight for the children. They are now going to be at the age of accountability, and unfortunately, this thing that we have allowed to get into our school system is going to lead many children to stumble. We're hearing awful things in New York. New York's been at it longer than we have, and this Common Core Standards, a licensed clinical social worker was telling us that her caseload increased like 200 to 300%. Children, honor students, were coming in mutilating themselves, burning themselves with cigarettes. Those were the first set. Then it's on down, even third grade classes, sobbing after testings, and teachers, to rise in the number of teachers coming in so stressed because now this nationalized education system is forcing the teachers to study for the test because it means their jobs. If they do not, their students do not do well, then their evaluations go down. So it's more pressure everywhere, and it's, unfortunately, it is right there even in the school system. And so, parents, we want you to wake up. And, again, I love Dr. Shayessa's message, which is, you know, God is over us all. And, yes, he's over the politicians. So, you know, we need to really be hanging on to God so dearly. And asking him for mercy, right, Dr. Shayessa? He has compassion, he says, upon us and our children's children, right?
Yes, indeed. Amen. He is everything, and happy to those who put their trust in Jesus. Happy, really, because he will come into the life of that person and make everything godly and everything joyful, and align every aspect of life with God, with the true God. Our God, the God of the Bible, is the true God, whereas the God of Islam and other gods are not true. They are just made in the image of people.
Well, Dr. Shayessa, if you don't mind, mention your website, sir, for those that would like to, you know, you've got some information for them that they need really to share with others.
Yeah. My website is www.exodusfromdarkness.org. And if people want to write to me personally, my email address also is 7 spirits@gmail.com. 7 is a digit, and spirits, spirits@gmail.com. They can write to me directly, and I can answer their questions.
Wow. Oh, thank you, Dr. Shayeste. We are so just grateful, sir. And in closing, we hope you can, I know you're so busy. You know, we've asked for this interview a long time ago, and I thought, oh, I didn't send you a reminder, but thank you so much for remembering us. Would you mind, Dr. Shayeste, closing us in prayer? There's so much to ask you, but you know what our needs are. And so if you don't mind, we just turn it over to you and ask that you pray over us.
No, of course. It's a pleasure for me. Father God, we praise your name that you open their eyes to see your beauty in every aspect of life. Father, help us, especially in this challenging time, to love you dearly and to stand for you no matter what the cost is, glorious God. We know that you are our providers, and we, for that reason, we need to put our trust in you in every matter of life, Father God. And we praise your name for this channel, our radio, that you have provided for us. We can praise your name through this and speak about your beauty to other people. Almighty God, we spoke about our nation here in America. I just leave this nation to you, Father God. We unite with each other, myself and Diana, glorious God. Lift the nation to your presence, Father. Just touch this nation and open their eyes. I pray for President Obama to humble him, Father God, so can he can come to your throne, approach to your throne with freedom and with modesty, glorious God. Free him, glorious God, his mind from the world values, and put your values in him and save this man, glorious God. And open his eyes and ears and whisper in his eyes and tell him that you allowed him to come to this position. He needs to humble himself to your presence, in your presence. And I pray for all other politicians, Father God, help them to put the political correctness under their feet and to love this nation, to love this country, and to lift this country to your presence, Father God. Oh, Father, I just cry to you for Syria, that Muslims are killing each other. Open their eyes so they can see your beauty and they can love each other in your love, Father God. Just help them to put that harsh and dictatorship religion, Islam, away and come and take shelter in you, Father God. Pray for the Europe, that you open the eyes of leaders in those countries, glorious God, to love their nation. And we praise your name, God, for your kindness and mercy to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow. Dr. Shayeste, thank you, sir, so very much. And listeners, please go to Dr. Shayeste's website, exodusfromdarkness.org, and he even gave you his email, sevenspirits@gmail.com, for those of you that have questions. So, oh, my goodness, Dr. Shayeste, we look forward to having you come on and join us again. And I know you're very busy.
Thank you so much. Anytime there is time there, I just feel honored to come here, and it's a privilege for me.
Oh, wow. Oh, thank you, Dr. Shayeste. The privilege is ours. And I just love that, Dr. Shayeste. Haggai 2.
Ooh,
I believe that is a word from the Lord, Zerubbabel, the Lord's signet ring. And I thank you, sir, for being right there for him always. God bless you. And listeners, we thank you for tuning in to City on the Hill. Please share the podcast of Dr. Shayeste with your friends and family. So may God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on the Hill. Goodbye.
Bye.